Well, last week we did celebrate Mother's Day, right? And now that that's over, you're all too serious this morning. Okay, well, we can continue celebrating Mother's Day, it's all right. But we will celebrate something else today. And I think that this is sort of a great and important task for us. How many of you celebrate birthdays? Not all of you do, but some of you, right? And when you celebrate a birthday, what happens? We have cake, right? That's ice cream. I mean, there's things we indulge. But sometimes, I mean, not always, because we don't necessarily want to think too much about it, but sometimes we take time and ponder, don't we? Right? We ponder. What does it mean for me to be 39 again, right, Kathy? It is sort of an opportunity, right? It's an opportunity for us to contemplate our lives, to contemplate our years. The simple fact that one is. I don't know, have you ever thought about that? What a blessing just to be breathing. Right? I mean, I say this often. When people ask me, how you doing? I says, I'm doing great. I woke up this morning and I opened my eyes, right? That's awesome. I mean, imagine the alternative, right? And we get the blessing of not only sharing life with others, but also sharing the journey, the ups and downs of life. You share history with others. I mean, it is a great time to think about that. So, I was thinking about this congregation. This congregation is just about, if not already, 97 years old. In 3 years, right? Do the math. Okay. The mark of a century is coming. So think about that. Now, there's a few of you who have been here most of that time. No. Okay. We're not going to go there. All right. We'll leave it at that. All right. I was going to ask, how does it feel? But nah, let's not even. Now, think about it. Think about it. You know, Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 8, and he's really speaking to people who just have started learning about this Jesus. People who have had an encounter, who have joined into the body of Christ. And he says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You remember that, right? No condemnation. This is the first verse in that chapter. And then he goes on and says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So it's not only that the church has had this long history, but each one of us have had this experience mysterious experience of not having to deal with what we would have had to deal with. There's no condemnation because the Spirit of life in Jesus has set us free. And I don't know, I mean, breathing is okay. I mean, right? I mean, don't you think it's all right to breathe? I think it's a blessing. Eating, it's even more. But to be alive in Christ, that goes beyond any physical blessing that we could have. Being alive in Jesus, and not only that, but being set free from all the burdens of life. And perhaps you can gather from that statement that the Spirit of God is not looking back. The Spirit of God is futuristic. The Spirit of God is, it's all about the now. Right? Therefore, what? Now. Now, right? Now there is no condemnation. And He has set us free. You see, that's part of the blessing of living in Christ. Because we live in that special relationship now. You see, this is what happens with us human beings. We live in the has-been. Right? You know, I've gotten to that place where I used to. you know what I'm talking about, right? I used to. I used to do surfing. I still do in my mind, but that's different. Right? I used to run. Right? Scott still does. But it's interesting that Paul says there is now. So it's not only what we are thinking about our lives. It's not only our history. And although it's a great thing to look back. Remember the Sankofa bird, right? You look back to see and to gather those eggs, those wisdom words, experiences that we need to remember, but it is in the now where the blessing of God is fully understood. Every day it's new. There's a new life, a new opportunity for us. And there's a new world of possibilities out there for us. And that comes not just from the Spirit empowering us, although that is what really happens. But it's not just that. It's not just the Spirit being an empowering agent, but the Spirit of Christ's presence in our lives, being there, present in our lives. Sometimes we think of the Spirit as a thing that passes on, right? That is visiting. Anybody? It's something like, you know, maybe the wind. Right? It's compared to the wind. And sometimes I feel the Spirit, but sometimes I don't. But Christ's presence is always with us. Amen? Always. Now, always has an implication. You see, it's not only a matter of breathing. Because you can breathe and do nothing else. But to live is to engage in the adventure of life. Man, I would be like, what's next? Right? When Georgine invited the children to go down, I was like, yes. Right? Every time that you breathe, every time, Christ's presence is about embodying that spirit. About embodying, that means that you and I get that opportunity. Think about it. Now, remember, we mentioned in the last 2 weeks what happens when Jesus prayed, right? Just before he was going to the cross, he said, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. So that. I love that. I got to keep repeating it to myself, right? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. In other words, that embodying of the Spirit is the hope for the world. Hello? So it's not just about us. And I know this happens in every congregation. Actually, it happens in every family, doesn't it? Because we want our own way, don't we? We want what we like. We're very good at that. But Jesus is always in the so that. Right? Jesus is always in the, so it's going to happen. So what does that mean for you? And what is going to happen from here on? How is that going to impact others? It's not about us. Wait. There's more. This is what Paul says in verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. So no more ice cream. Oh. I heard you. Believe me, I feel that too. You are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will give you life, will give life to your mortal bodies also through the Spirit that dwells in you. Life. 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 You're alive. Not for your own sake. You are alive. And at that my mom would say, wow. Did you hear her say that when she was here? She's like, wow. She's always amazed at that. Wow, what a great opportunity. What a great opportunity for us. So church, hear me please. You, you are in the Spirit. You. You are. Pentecost was all about that. Showing us that even Peter, the one that petered out, yes, right? Remember that? He just, no, not me. I didn't do it. I don't know that guy. You see, that same man stood up in the middle of a crowd that was going crazy and saying, what's going on here? And he preached. Man, how in the world did that happen? So church, this is it. It is not a matter of, you know, what is it that I like? It is a matter of what is it that God is doing? What is God up to? And how can I join him in that business? Now, if that spirit lives in you, then you're not dead. Hello? Now, there may be a deceiver that tries to tell you that you are, that you can't do nothing, that it's impossible. I mean, there's that spirit out there too, right? But you are alive. Let me see. Okay, I got another hour. That's great. Now, I've told you a little bit about my mom, right? I think I've shared about my mom a few times. I admire that woman because I admire her faith. You know what she told me once? You know that you are God's? And I'm like, yeah, Mom. But I'd rather be doing other things. Right? But check it out. I remember she did. And she told me that when I was like flying, right? I was living my life and I thought that I had it all down and I was looking for all the joy in the world that I could get. And she says, do you know whose you are? Still to this day, I remember that. Not only that, a cousin of mine, he's almost 60, right? And he's lived since he was in his early teens outside of the will of God. And every time that my mom met him, she says, you know whose you are? Do you know that I was there when you were baptized? This cousin of mine, not 3 weeks ago, came back. Not 3 weeks ago. And my mom was telling me this, how this all happened. I'm like, how? How in the world does that happen? It's one of those things that, to me, you know, this thing about hope, you know, that Paul communicates to us, it really hits something deep because life is about hope. And hope is not something that you already have, right? That's what Paul tries to tell us. Hope is something that is not there yet, but you know, right? You know. Forty-5 years, and he's reconciled to God. And he told my mom, I miss the church. I would have never thought that my cousin would have new life. But there he is. And to me, that's all about just one thing. That Spirit of God living through us. Placing those ideas about things that are not quite there nor true yet, right? And saying, this is what God sees. This is what God is trying to do. And you're saying, oh, okay. Well, maybe I can be part of that. Maybe I can step into it. Maybe I don't know all the solutions, nor do I know the formula, but I'll step into what that is like. New life. There's only one source to that, and that's the Spirit of God. Listen what verse 27 says. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints. Right? The Spirit intercedes for the saints. And as far as I know, you all are the saints. Right? So guess what? You got somebody that is interceding for you every single day of your life. Every situation in your life, God is there. And the Spirit of God is already saying, oh, I'm hoping for this for you. Lord, make it happen. So do you know how that works? Do you know how is the Spirit of God interceding in your life? Do you know what He's up to? I mean, do you know what the will of God is for Mount Air Christian Church? I don't know. Maybe God is already planting seeds in us, right? About what this is not what it is, even though we're in the now, but what is going to be. Even in 3 years. Right? Even in 3 years. Do you know what has been the prayer of many of us? I don't know. I think that is the opportunity we get. Imagine what God is up to. Just imagine. The owner of all the sources of life. I think this is what he's up to. More birthdays. Hello? Right? That's what he's doing. He wants more birthdays. He wants more birthdays for the church. He wants more birthdays for people. He wants us to think about who he's looking at. And he's not necessarily looking at us. He's already interceding for us, but he's looking at people that are out there that need Christ. So we've been praying, we've been waiting, and if you haven't, join us. The difference is that the Spirit is not coming. The Spirit is already here. So we don't have to wait for it anymore, right? Remember, those 120 people that were waiting, they were praying, they were waiting because Jesus told them, go there and wait because I'm going to send what you need, right? And they went and prayed. And we need to pray, but not so that we get what we need. We already have it. It's so that we can do what God already has planned for us. Okay, I have 2 more hours. But I think I only want to say one more thing. The sermon was titled Spirit 2.0. And that, of course, comes from an engineering background that I have, this way of titling things, right? With versions, right, Stan? I wonder what this new version of the Spirit is going to be among us. The Spirit is futuristic. It's always looking forward. Let's discover that. Let's pray. Lord, we started the sermon with a short prayer, asking the Spirit of the Lord to fall afresh on us. But we know you're here. We know that Spirit is already in us. So how is that going to happen? How do we really connect with it? Lord, maybe it's us opening our eyes to your presence. Maybe it's us opening ourselves to your will. Maybe it's us discovering all that you are in us already. We pray again, Lord, to help us see with your eyes, to discover what you're doing among us, and to see it through. In Jesus we pray. Amen.